Unfortunately, it's not at all uncommon to hear Christians accusing other Christians of not really being Christians. Whenever significant controversy flares up over some issue, and it almost doesn't matter what it is, the proponents of each side polarise and harden their positions and begin believing that the truth as they hold it is the litmus test of true commitment to Jesus. I was thinking about this phenomena when I considered the words that we heard from the first letter of the Apostle John, because this is how the Apostle sums up what God asks of us. This is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. There's not really that much to it, is there? Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. It doesn't say anything about having to read the Bible in a particular way, or having a particular spiritual experience, or holding particular views on politics, sexual ethics, or social policy. Just two things. Believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. But lest we oversimplify it, let's endeavour to unpack these two things a little bit. To start with, I want to ask the question about the relationship of these two things to what Jesus himself has said. Because Jesus once commented on the two most important things too, and he didn't mention anything about believing in his own name. His second one was love your neighbour as yourself, which sounds pretty similar to what the Apostle John is saying. But what about the first? Where John has believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus had love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. I want to suggest to you that they're more or less the same thing, but obviously that needs some explanation or defending. Even if we're talking about the romantic kind of love, one of the most important questions is whether we are really in love with the person that we think that we're in love with, or whether we are really in love with some projection of who we imagine them to be. It's the same with God. When I say I love God, the real question is whether I love God as God really is, or whether I have some other image of God which is quite different from who God actually is, and I'm in love with that image. So when John talks about believing in the name of Jesus, what he's getting at is who God really is. Is the name Jesus Christ a pointer to who God really is? Does the God that you love with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength look and behave exactly like Jesus? You see, it's probably not all that hard to love God in theory. If God is just some distant abstract concept, we can claim to love God without any real consequence. But when God starts doing things and acting in certain ways, we either love what God does or we don't. And at that point, we find out whether we really love God or not. There were lots of people in Jesus' day who were sure that they loved God heart, mind and soul, but who saw what Jesus did and didn't love it at all. So if Jesus is God showing us how God behaves and what God does, then our response to Jesus is where we find out what loving God is all about. Which brings us to what we heard Jesus saying about himself in the gospel reading tonight. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he goes on to contrast that with the hired hands who do not really care about the sheep, but are just being paid to keep an eye on them. hired hands who, in the event of real danger, like a wolf coming, run off to save their own skin and leave the sheep at the mercy of the wolf, who probably has no mercy at all. Now, clearly, Jesus is having something to say here about leadership styles as seen in the world around him. And I don't think he'd be putting it too differently if he was talking about leadership styles in our world today. When there's real danger to be faced, how often do we see our leaders putting their own lives on the line? Not very often, is it? But we don't have to look very far to see leaders who are willing to put other people's lives on the line, who are willing to sacrifice other lives to achieve their objectives and protect their positions. They talk of collateral damage, but actually they're speaking of human lives that they are willing to see lost in their endeavours to get their way. And when some mob starts baying for blood, there are always leaders willing to buy its favour by positioning themselves as the ones who will be able to be the toughest on whoever the current scapegoats are. I think Jesus would call it throwing a sheep over the fence to silence the wolf. But Jesus is not only talking about leadership in the world around us. He's also challenging our concepts of what God is like. Because most of the time, we are prone to imagining that God is like those hired hand shepherds. We think of God as distant and uninvolved, not personally affected by the tragedies and conflicts that beset his sheep. And when we think of God as one, and at times we even think of God as one who would demand satisfaction in blood. If his will is transgressed or his honour offended, sacrifice me an unblemished lamb or you'll be made to pay. But Jesus is saying, no way, God is not like that. God never demands or desires or condones the death of a single lamb, of his own flock or any other flock. God is the good shepherd, the true shepherd, who would lay down his own life before ever allowing the wolf to get at the sheep, and who would do whatever it takes to find and rescue even one lost sheep. And true to his word, when the grinding wheels of human hostility and bitterness fire up again and demand the sacrifice of another victim, Jesus throws himself into the wheels so that his own death might fatally expose and jam up the system. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This then is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That we should see what this one does and know that we are seeing God in action. And we should love such a God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But if I left the sermon there, I wouldn't have taken this issue quite as far as the Apostle John calls us to take it. Because he says this is not just about God or about those in positions of leadership. He says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for one another. So this image of the good shepherd who lays down their life for the sheep is not just about God and leaders, it's about all of us. All of us have a responsibility for others, to look out for their interests, to care for their needs and their safety. And this is where Jesus and John use almost identical words, love one another. Now, if you were to be quite pedantic about your grammatical and contextual analysis of the words here, it's technically true that it means you in the church are to love one another in the church rather than you are to love absolutely everyone. And some of us will balk at that and say it sounds a little bit insular and cosy, and that the real task that Jesus calls us to is to love everyone, even our enemies. And I won't disagree with you. There's no doubt that Jesus does extend the concept of loving our neighbour to include the outsiders and even our enemies. But you know what? There's a risk of falling into the same trap again, of loving an imagined distant someone and failing to recognise the real someone in front of us. The call to love one another begins with loving one another within the congregation, because actually that's often where it's hardest, precisely because that's where it is most real. It's not that hard for me to love some unknown group of asylum seekers in a detention centre in some remote place, because they never interrupt me or disagree with me or misconstrue the things that I say or have unreasonable expectations of me or behave in ways that get my nose out of joint. Of course, if I actually had to deal with them face to face, then they would. They'd begin to do all those things and more. But as long as they're out there somewhere, remote and inaccessible, I can love them without any difficulty at all. But in here, it's a whole lot more real and a whole lot more difficult. Every one of us here can think of some other one of us who makes loving one another rather more challenging than we'd like it to be. And nearly every one of you just got thought of by somebody else when I said that. And so did I. And that's actually a big part of the point of being here. We're not a natural grouping united by very similar social backgrounds or life experiences or interests. We are a motley group who fit together rather awkwardly, who have only one thing in common, and that is that we are called together in Christ to follow him in company and thereby to learn to love one another. And there will be plenty of moments when the frictions and tensions in a group such as this get even more unbearable than usual. And we will be sorely tempted to engage in a little scapegoating and sacrificing, just like the hired hands. You know, if we just threw that one over the fence to the wolf, not only might the wolf be satisfied, but it'd be a whole lot more harmonious in here without that one, wouldn't it? Tempting as it is, if it's the good shepherd we're following, it is only a temptation and never a calling. For we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for one another. You see, as easily as you can think of someone that you might be willing to toss over the fence, there's probably someone else who thought of you. And the fact is that none of us specially deserve the right to be the loved and cherished and protected ones. We are all here on exactly the same basis. He loves us and laid his life down for us and called us to follow and do the same for one another. This then is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Simple, really. Just those two things. Perfectly simple. It's putting it into practice that is not so easy.